Good morning, and welcome to everyone worshipping here at Emmanuel this morning, and a special welcome to any visitors who have joined us today, and to those who will join us later listening to the recorded service. We're very grateful to Stuart Benjamin for leading our service this morning. Thank you, Stuart. And I'm pleased to welcome back Jeff Gleed, our organist, from his travels. And also to welcome Tom Wheeler, who will be singing a solo later on. Our readers this morning will be Steve Brain, who will read Psalm 138, and me, Helen Marson, I'll be reading from Luke chapter 11. So I have a message from the church secretary. I apologise for the inconvenience of the contractor's vehicles in the car park. They have been parked without permission. A complaint has been lodged with the builders and with the borough council. In terms of access to church buildings this week, we are told that there will be no vehicle access to the church on Monday or Tuesday. So no vehicle access to the church on Monday or Tuesday. But that, in theory, it will be possible to drive into the church from Wednesday onwards, as long as you approach from the east, i.e. the direction of Bybury Road and Parklands. We are assured that by next weekend, all will be back to normal with an improved road surface on Upham Road. And I'd also like to message from about the Food Collective, that's the collection of food. Our donations will go to the Food Collective after next Sunday's service. So, but please be especially generous next week, as with the school holidays, it's expected that there will be high demand at the food bank. I will now light the Christ candle as we prepare for worship.
Good morning, Emmanuel. I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for he is speaking peace to his faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to him. Truly, his salvation is very near to those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Amen. Welcome to our service of worship this morning. It's lovely to see so many people here, and thank you for inviting me once again to lead the service. I hope your summer has been going well. Our summer has. We had COVID to start with, and then we got over that, and then we went camping in a heat wave. So it's been eventful, if nothing else. You'll see already that the peace candle has been lit. I understand there were some problems lighting it last week. But now we have the flame lit there. And I just want to say a short prayer of dedication to that. Lord, as you look upon this world, as you look upon the great sporting events in this country, we're reminded that humanity can come together in peace and compete with one another in a way that's fair, in a way that's equal, no matter where people are from, what they are like, or what they do. But we've lit the peace candle because we know, as well as all the amazing things we can achieve together, we can also achieve some terrible things. Wars and conflicts continue. And we know that you are looking at this world and praying for those situations where there is not peace, where there is not justice, where hate seems to win. Be with us, Lord. Help us to be more like those who win sporting achievements, to work together, to reach further, and to do the things which you love. We pray this in your name. Amen. Talking of sport, I believe there's a football match later. Some of you might be interested in watching. I think it'd be great if football does come home and it's the women's team that bring it home after 50, 60 years where the men won it. And you have to remember, in 1966, women weren't allowed to play competitive football. So in a way, it'll be summary justice, I suppose, wouldn't it? Anyway, fingers crossed for later. I'm not going to ask God to take sides, but I hope England win. We've also got some hymns to sing this morning. They're all from Rejoice and Sing, and we're going to start off with hymn 49. Sing praise to the Lord. 49 in Rejoice and Sing. Let us join together and share a prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, you know each one of us. You know our gifts and our skills. You know our faults and our failures. You know our place in your created world. Generous God, we come here today amazed by your creation and everything that you provide for us. From the detail of a small insect and the beauty of a flower to the power of an ocean and the drama of a mountain, your presence surrounds us. Your knowledge of us, your generosity to us, and your care over us is simply beyond our understanding. Yet we have also come here knowing that too often we have let you down. Too often we have said the wrong thing. Too often we have made the wrong decision. Too often we have made a judgment without knowing all of the facts. Too often we have taken for granted what others can only dream of. Too often we have failed to listen, especially when you have called us to action. Forgive us for all our wrongdoings and for those times when we have put our own desires ahead of others and ahead of yours, thinking that we know best. Make us aware of our misjudgments and mistakes so that we may learn from them. All-knowing God, show us where we can serve. Open our eyes that we may see. Enable our listening to hear your voice. Make us mindful of your wishes. Grant us the courage to action your call and guide us along the way. As we now place ourselves in your loving care, we join together and say the words that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We'll come back to the Lord's Prayer a little bit later in the service, but for now, we're going to sing another hymn. Again, in Rejoice and Sing, it's 531, Lord of All Hopefulness. 531.
Thank you.
We're going to continue our service now with our offering and dedication, followed by the grace, and then I'm going to hand over to our special guests. So, first of all, the offering. God, we offer you these gifts, symbols of our lives, gifts of ourselves. Use them for your service. All holy God, we offer you ourselves and all that we are. Open to your call, use us to your service. Amen. And let's say the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you very much, Tom and Jeff. We'll now continue our service with our two readings.
If you wish to follow the Old Testament reading, you can find it on page 588 of the Bibles in the pews, 588. Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly. But the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Here ends the first reading.
So our New Testament reading can be found on page 69 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles, and it's from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or, if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Helen and Steve. In that passage from Luke, we learnt that practical jokes in biblical times involved giving people scorpions instead of eggs, which I suppose people found hilarious in biblical days. Don't do it, though. I mean, people don't like it. They take against you if you give them a scorpion. Lord, teach us to pray, asks one of the disciples of Luke in the book of Luke. And Jesus says to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. And it's here that we encounter the Lord's Prayer in the Gospels. And we've been saying a form of that prayer for 2,000 years or more ever since, haven't we? When the disciple asks, teach us how to pray, we mustn't be fooled into thinking that they didn't know how to pray, or they didn't know any prayers at this point. Jesus and the disciples were religiously observant Jews, and from this we must assume that there was some ongoing conversation with God as part of that faith. If you remember the late Rabbi Lionel Blue, whenever he talked on the radio, it was always an ongoing conversation with God. He said it was a conversation that never finished. If you've seen Fiddler on the Roof, Tevye is constantly talking to God. So, in the Jewish faith, they talk to God all the time. We must assume that that's some sort of prayer. And we know this because we know with some certainty Psalm 138 that Steve read to us. The psalmist says to God, when I called you, you answered me, O Lord. So, Psalm 138 is the song of an individual whose prayers have been answered. And not only that, the psalmist chooses to celebrate the successful appeal or prayer to God. So, Lord, teach us to pray, says the disciple. But perhaps his question is, Lord, teach us what to pray for. Again, though, we can assume that Jesus and his disciples already know that too. In Psalm 138, the psalmist lists all the things that they've successfully prayed for, increasing their strength, and I presume this is spiritual strength as well as mental health strength or physical strength. They pray for safety in times of trouble. They pray for salvation from their enemies. All these things are very familiar to us, and we pray for those in one form or another today, don't we? We want to be safe. We want the world to be a better place. Lord, teach us how to pray, insists this disciple. Well, we already know they know how to pray, and we already know they know what to pray for. So what really is the question here? Is it less about what to pray for, and more about what do prayers mean? What do prayers mean? What does it mean, deep down, to pray? Do we really mean it when we pray, or is it just lip service? A lot of questions to unpack there, aren't there? And there are no easy answers, so please don't come to me looking for any. In the United States of America, whenever there is a mass shooting at a school or a church or a shopping mall, many will say their thoughts and prayers are with the victims. Of course they are. Why wouldn't they be? It would be less than human not to show any empathy with a terrible tragedy and the victims of that tragedy. But increasingly, many commentators, religious and secular, Christian and non-Christian, increasingly criticizing this rush to thoughts and prayers, because thoughts and prayers are an excuse not to do anything about addressing the circumstances that brought about the tragic event in the first place. The Republican Christian right of the United States of America are pro the gun laws, which put dangerous weapons into the hands of dangerous people. And what value is there in prayers when you think you have a God-given right to bear arms? There's no value there. There's only hypocrisy. And where does that leave prayer? But it's not just the Christian right who pray. All religions pray. And Christians of all political persuasions and influences pray, and we hope, no, we need to believe that our prayers will do some good in this world. And sometimes prayers are the only things we have, and we hold on to that. Again, we have to ask the question, what do our prayers mean? Jesus has an answer, and he invites his disciples into a deeply personal relationship with God. And he encourages them to call upon God using the same name that he uses, Abba, Father. And if you cast your mind back to the Easter season, Robert gave us a service based on the Abba, Father thing, about that personal relationship between us and God. So he's inviting his disciples to call upon God as children call on a loving parent, trusting that they belong to God and that God wants for them what is good and life-giving. Jesus invites his disciples to pray that God's name is hallowed or kept holy. And when God's name is hallowed or kept holy, God's kingdom comes and there is daily bread for all. Forgiveness is practiced. God delivers the faithful from the time of trial. Our prayers will be answered. And to illustrate that God can be trusted to respond to our prayers, Jesus tells the parable of the friend who calls at midnight. Now, what you have to remember is that hospitality was of paramount importance in the biblical world, and not just in the biblical world. At that time, all over the what we call the civilized world, the places where people lived, there was no question that when a guest arrived, even an unexpected one, even at midnight, there was no question that we must extend our hospitality to them. In return, they would treat our house and our food and everything else with respect. It was a mutual arrangement. So when the man in the story goes to the fridge and opens the door, he finds himself moldy carrot at the bottom, there's always one, but he finds himself without enough food for his guest, and he must go and wake up a friend and ask to borrow some food, even though he must wake up the friend's entire family. So he's knocking on the door. And, oh, don't bother me, the friend answers. I've locked up for the night. I'm in bed, the kids are in bed, the wife is in bed, the dog is in bed, everyone is in bed. I'm not getting up to give you anything. And we might empathize with being woken up at midnight. And we have to say, the midnight caller is perhaps pushing the limits of friendship here. But in the culture of the biblical world, it is the woken up friend who's actually behaving badly. The ability of the guy who's knocked on the door to provide hospitality is at stake, and therefore his honor is at stake, and how he responds and his reputation to guests. Jesus says that the man will eventually respond to his friend's request, not because he is a friend, but because of his friend's shamelessness. I love that, his shameless friend knocking on the door. His friend displays no shame in asking for help to meet the requirements of hospitality. And the woken-up friend would incur dishonor if he failed to help his neighbor in this very essential obligation. So he will respond from social pressure, if nothing else. And Jesus' parable implies that if it is so amongst friends, with our mixed motives and self-interest, how much more so with God, who wants to give us what is holy, good, and life-giving? Jesus continues, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." And this is perhaps the trickiest part of this passage to preach, because our world experience contradicts Jesus' words. So often we've asked and not received. We've searched and not found. And in spite of our most fervent prayers for their health and their safety, we've lost loved ones to cancer and senseless accidents. In spite of our fervent prayers for people around the world, we hear daily of tragedies, of violence, hunger, famine, disease, natural disasters, shooting, another shooting. Thoughts and prayers, anyone? If God is like a loving parent who desires to give us what is good and life-giving, why do so many prayers seem to go unanswered? And there's no simple answer to that, although simple answers are often given. One answer given is that it only seems that God has not answered our prayers. God always answers, but sometimes says no. There are times, perhaps, when that is the case. Perhaps we don't always ask wisely, and God, being a truly loving God, must refuse our request. I mean, you know, if you say yes to everything people ask you, you soon find yourselves in a whole lot of trouble, don't you? Yet this explanation cannot account for the many cases in which our requests must surely be in tune with what God wants. The Bible bears witness to God's will, that everyone has enough to eat, that violence and wars cease. Jesus tells us to pray for daily bread and for God's kingdom to come, and yet millions continue to go hungry and wars rage on. Another explanation, often given to the problem of unanswered prayer, is that everything happens for a reason. God has some purpose in everything that happens. No matter how bad it may seem, it's all part of God's plan to bring about some higher good. And this is also a troubling explanation, to say the least. It holds that whatever happens must be God's will. And then one would have to say that all kinds of evils, such as violence, torture, starvation, premature death, are all the will of God. We dare not call the tragic results of our own sin and rebellion God's will. Of course, we believe that God can bring good out of evil. Indeed, this is our only hope and the heart of our faith in Jesus' death and resurrection. But that's quite a different thing from saying, whatever the evil thing is that happens, then that's God's will. What then can we say about unanswered prayer? And it's wise to be wary of saying more than we can possibly know. We can, however, affirm what our faith tells us. God is all-powerful. And yet God is not the only power in this world. There are other powers, human powers, at work. Powers of evil and death, often manifested in human actions. The powers of corrupt, narcissistic, grasping, power-hungry politicians. The power of newspapers with extremist views. The powers of big corporations with small tax bills. The power of those who would bully and belittle others. The powers of the rich and shameless. The power of the Christian right. The power of fundamentalists. Although God has won the ultimate victory over these powers through death and the resurrection of Jesus, the battle still rages on. Consequently, God's will can be and often is thwarted by what we do. Why bother to pray then if God's will can be thwarted? Again, we affirm what our faith tells us, and particularly what Jesus tells us in this passage, that we are invited into a relationship with a loving God who wants to give us life and who continues to work tirelessly for our redemption and that of all creation. We, like the midnight caller, need to be shameless in our prayers, to keep bringing our needs all the time, our needs and our hopes, bringing them to our Heavenly Father, because Jesus tells us this is what we need to do, trusting in God's loving purpose for us. Not everything that happens in this world is God's will, but we can affirm with the words of St. Paul, in all things, God works for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Amen. We're going to take up our hymn books again and sing 548 from Rejoice and Sing. Nothing distress you. 548. Now that we've talked a little about prayer, we're invited once again, as we are every Sunday, to bring our thoughts, our hopes, our intercessions for the world to God. And we know that God looks, and we know he does his best to work his wisdom through the world, through you and I. Let us pray. Let us pray for those who build their lives on the things they can see, hear, touch, or prove. For those who demand proof before they will believe. For those who fail to comprehend that through love, compassion, and forgiveness, like God's presence, cannot be proved. It is the evidence of them that really matters. May the Holy God hold them, love them, and guide them still. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. Let us pray for those who, because of their treatment by others, find it hard to trust anyone ever again. For those who are broken and damaged by spiteful words and deeds of others, and for those who have spent their days not knowing who they are or if they really matter. for those who feel desperately alone and vulnerable, especially those anxious about their health if they venture outdoors. May the Holy God touch them, hold them, and listen to them still. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. Let us pray for those overwhelmed by superstitions and fake news, for those who place their hopes in their possessions and power, and for those who seek to further their own lives by dominating the lives of others. May the Holy God challenge and change and hold them still. The Lord hears our prayers. Thanks be to God. Let us pray for those who feel unloved and uncared for by rich nations, especially those who face famine and drought, the devastating effects of war. May the Holy God shake the world community to love and care. The Lord hears our prayers. Thanks be to God. And let us pray for anyone we know to be in special need. Those who need to feel deeply loved right now, for anyone facing serious illnesses, and for any who are troubled for themselves or for those they love. May the Holy God comfort, encourage, bless, and hold them still. For the Lord hears our prayers. Thanks be to God. And let us pray for ourselves and for our church, offering up all we must face and all we must do this week. Let us ask that the God whose holiness shook the mountains will hold us when the foundations of our lives are shaking and hurting. May the Holy God heal us, strengthen us, hold us still, and guide us in the way of genuine love. Amen. Our final hymn this morning was one very familiar to you. 3, 4, 5 in Rejoice and Sing. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. 3, 4, 5. Thank you. that's just a special dedication for the Welsh athletes at the Commonwealth Games. May the God whose longing is for justice and whose passion is for freedom of all things strengthen us to work for everything that makes peace. And the blessing of the living God, Creator, Redeemer, and Spirit be with us all, now and always. Amen.